Straight to the Point Browns Talk with the head coach, The Mike Pettine Show, Thursday nights at 7 on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Second down and 10. Here's Dalton to throw, and Paul Kruger's going to hit him and sack him all the way back at the 40-yard line on the Bengals' side of the field.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Let's go now to the Ohio Business Machines hotline for the voice of the Cleveland Browns, Jim Donovan, all along the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. Jim, as you've had a day or a half a day to digest after our late arrival and a bumpier flight than I think either you or I liked after on the ride home from Cincinnati last night, where are you at with this team right now?
Well, I was wondering if you noticed I was sitting right in front of you, man, and I was gripping the seat. It was you're right.
I was bumpy too.
It was good. A very bumpy flight. It was a very bumpy second half. I just think that there's a sameness now to the losses. Certainly the Arizona game, and to some extent probably the Denver game, but definitely the Arizona game and this game. I think that what you're dealing with is, I think it's very simply said, the Bengals are a much more talented team than the Browns are. I think the Cardinals were a more talented team. And I think once they kind of get the fix on what the Browns are doing and the Browns kind of jump out and surprise them a little bit or make them kind of think or react rather than just go to it, and the Browns get off to a pretty good start in these first half. But once they kind of settle in, I think the talent kind of overrides everything, and the Browns, cannot answer that. And so I think that, that's what we've watched in these last two games. Two teams that are better than the Browns adjust to them at some point, and then it just seems to me that talent is winning out in these last couple of games.
I kind of likened it earlier to the show, boxing match where one boxer knows he is the superior competitor and just kind of feels out his opponent for a little while until he decides exactly how he wants to put them down, and that's what's happened.
Well, and too, Nathan, you sit there, and again, there's a sameness to it, is that as I would watch, Carson Palmer, a week ago, this upcoming Sunday, last Sunday, when the more he got out there, the more he got the feel of the Browns defense, and you just kind of keep waiting for it to happen. Even if there's a turnover involved and the Browns get the ball, it's just like a ticking bomb that Michael Floyd and Larry Fitzgerald are going to get going. And the same was true last night. The longer that their offense was on the field, and they started to be out there for a long period of time in the second half because the Browns offense was going three and out, three and out, and three and out, that you just realized that at some point, A.J. Green, Eifert, Marvin Jones, Sanu, all spearheaded by Andy Dalton, they're going to start to hit on some things, and that's what's been happening.
And, Jim, this question's coming from more of a fan, which we all know is, kind of short for fanatic. And many fans, and especially those of here of the Cleveland Browns, always love to point fingers and place blame. So when you look at the way in which we've lost the last three football games and the lackluster performance in the second half, the lack of talent, which you and Nathan just identified, where do you point that finger and say, yep, that's our culprit, and that's what we truly need to address, throughout the remaining games of the season and getting better or getting more experience and then address throughout next offseason?
Well, in the big picture, Matt, I just looked at, it looks like we've really bungled some drafts. I mean, that's the big picture. That's not going to help us next week against Pittsburgh or, in the Monday night game against Baltimore. But, if you're looking at what's gone wrong, we should be getting key contributions from guys that we drafted and especially where we drafted them, and that's not happening. So it looks right now like we've bungled some drafts. Cincinnati is certainly a team that is stockpiled with draft choices that they made or even – some guys that they've gotten from other teams, and there are many because that is pretty much a Bengal pick roster. They were number one picks on their other teams that they came from, like Reggie Nelson, Adam Jones, I believe, was a high draft choice when he came over. But I think that's the big picture. Now, the other picture is that, the more immediate thing is that it just seems as though we really do lack playmakers. And when Johnny Manziel was, in the second half needed some plays to be made on the other ends of balls that he threw, they weren't being made. I mean, and you know, but there just seems to be this scattered approach to what we're doing, too. I mean, you know, I thought that the Browns running game had some life in it and some power and some,
top
and some physicality in the first half. And then it wasn't there in the second half, but it wasn't because of a loss of those ingredients. It was just that they didn't dial it up. So it just seems very scattered of what we're going to do. I mean, it's hard to say that they stick to their game plan because it looks so scattered that parts of the game plan get totally lost in what they want to do, whether that's a lack of patience or experience calling plays. You know, that's to be viewed as, you know, to the individual's eyes, I think.
Yeah, 9 carries for 42 yards in the first half for Isaiah Crowell, 1 carry in the entire second half. But then again, the Browns didn't get a first down until after the blocked punt when they were already down 31-10 with less than 3 minutes to play in this game against the Bengals. Talk with Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns from the PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns Radio Network. And Jim, you know, Mike Pettine still refusing even today to commit to Johnny Manziel as his starter for the rest of the season, still going with the whoever gives us the best chance to win burden. Do you think that that is wise? I mean, I know you've already said for weeks and weeks, as have I, that you'd start Johnny, but in your mind, did Johnny show enough to continue to get more looks?
Well, I would give it. I mean, I think that you're at that point, and I, you know, that you watch what he can do, and now you say, okay, let's see what he can do next week. I think, Nathan, and I mean, let's face it, let's put it out on the table. I'm sure you guys have probably addressed it too, but you're probably, you know, looking at not only when Mike says, you know, who gives us the guy who gives us the best chance to win, but it's probably the guy who gives me the best chance to win. I mean, you know, this Mike needs some wins. You know, this coaching staff needs some wins. I mean, the 5 losses in a row last year at the end of the year and now 2-7 this year, that's 2-12. That's bad math for a coaching staff. So I'm sure there's a dilemma here in the sense that, okay, you know, who's the guy that gives us the best chance to win and the best chance to keep us employed? And I'm sure that in a lot of guys' minds, they're probably saying the 13-year veteran, we're more comfortable with him, you know, to try and get us home, to try and get a couple of these games and make this record a little cleaner and a little prettier for the eyes of the owner and everybody else who watches the Browns. But long-term, again, I mean, I think you're at the point where you've seen what Manziel can do in a very, very tough situation against a terrific team. Let's see what he can do again with another full week of practice so that we can really have an answer on what he is and what he needs to do or what we need to do to help him to become a more functional quarterback.
And, Jim, just to continue to possibly you know, put a positive spin a little bit on yesterday's football game, there were some young players out there that got their first opportunity to either start or play significant chunks of time. Beyond Johnny Manziel as a young player, who kind of stood out to you and you feel as someone that given more opportunity can grow as a player and solid player in the National Football League?
Well, I'll tell you what, I thought the kid Ibrahim Campbell, you know, played. Every time I've seen him in the preseason, last week when he got in the game, and I thought last night, and then he got back into the game after he went out, you know, got nicked a little bit early in the game. I thought he represented himself pretty well. I really do. I thought he played pretty well. I thought that Nate Orchard started to show a little bit more. I thought Shelton made a couple of plays. I really am a believer in Crowell. I really am. I think that it's sad to see that he gets lost, you know, at times in the game plan and the rotation of 3 running backs up until last night. When he gets lost in that rotation, I still believe Crowell could be a really, you know, very, very serviceable running back for this team and in the league. I think he's got power, he's got speed, and I thought that he was showing that in the first half last night and then was denied that opportunity in the second half for whatever reason. You know, I thought Petonio played another really good game and a gutsy game when he got back in there after he limped off right at the end of the half. And Duke Johnson, I think, has the ability to be a special player. So those were some of the young guys, you know, besides Manziel. And I was really intrigued with some of the stuff he did in the first half. I just don't know if you can keep that up for an entire game, running around and making plays like that. And again, there are going to be adjustments, and they made adjustments last night to keep him pinned in the pocket, and then things kind of, you know, unfolded the way they did in the second half. But there were, yeah, you're right, there were some young players that, you know, caught your eye last night.
For Johnny to be successful ultimately in the NFL, he's got to be able to win from the pocket. But for a quarterback to win from the pocket, you need guys to get open. And what really stood out to me last night was the only time there were guys open were on the broken plays when it was kind of schoolyard, backyard football, you know, just find an open spot. But when it was a designed play for the ball to come out, other than Travis Benjamin quick slants, there really wasn't anybody open. And Taylor Gabriel in particular was not getting separation. And when he did, the ball was there and he dropped it.
Yeah, now, you know, and Doug mentioned that on the broadcast last night very early, and it might have been on their first or second drive that Gabriel's got to really cut his route and, you know, be more demonstrative and get separation, exactly what you're pointing out, that took them off the field a couple of times, you know, on a drive that maybe had more left in it if he had made the catch. I think you're right. I mean, I think that the other thing is, Nathan, I think that the Browns receivers are going to have to get used to playing with him, you know, if he is going to ad-lib plays and run around like that. So, you know, the old scramble drill might have to go into effect where you got to go present yourself to him and get open, and he'll get it to you. I mean, if there's something that, you know, I definitely saw in him last night was, because I think he's made a living out of doing this, probably at every level he's played at, but being able to throw on the run and come up with an angle to throw, he can really get it there, which some guys can't do. But I think he's had a lot of practice in doing that. But I think these receivers are going to have to really learn how to play with him a little bit more, and be very aware that when he's running around like that, there's a big play out there if you present yourself to him.
Yeah, absolutely. And I thought he had more velocity on his passes than he did a year ago. And certainly when he was on the move, it seemed to be accurate and with a lot of velocity. But one last question for me is, you know, the one number that continues to jump out at me the most, 55-3 in the second half of the last three games. What do you make of that number?
It's astonishing. I mean, it really is astonishing. It tells me, you know, I just go back to, you know, I wonder if, you know, if the talent level is such that, you know, they just drop off because they're, you know, the other team just, you know, I still believe talent wins out. And I know that there are games where there are great schemes that a coach can put in, and you can definitely surprise a team and catch them off balance. You can catch guys off on bad days. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know what's wrong with them. It really is very, very – I mean, the number is true, and sometimes numbers don't tell you the whole story. But this one does, that there's just nothing going on in the second half. And it really is costing them to the point where they just are not competitive at all in the second halves of these games. And the easiest thing to point at is, well, these teams are better than them, and they catch up to them, and they just pass them. But there has to be a little bit more to that, you know, you can – I mean, because there are some games where they've played very well in that, you know, San Diego, Baltimore, you know, things like that. I don't know, Nathan. That's a very startling thing. I'm sure it's going to be something that they're going to have to really take a look at here before we go to Pittsburgh a week from Sunday.
Jim, when you talk about the talent disparity, and, you know, you're not the first person who said it, it seems like the team doesn't have the talent of some of the other teams around it. When you go back to the season that the Browns went 4-12 in 2013, you remember how many guys they sent to the Pro Bowl that year? Six.
No, I don't. Off the top of my head, I don't.
It was six that year. That was the year with Gordon and Hayden and Matt
and
Thomas and T.J. Ward and Jordan Cameron. Six Pro Bowlers that year. Since then, you've had four first-round picks, two second-round picks, four third-round picks, countless late-round picks, and the most cap room in the NFL, and you've brought in tons of veterans. And yet, here you are with a roster that you've watched a lot of these Browns team that you feel is talent deficient. And to me, when you kind of accept that, if that is the reality, that's maybe the most startling thing about all of this.
Oh, I totally agree with you, yes. I mean, that is the thing. I mean, when you look at what they've been, you know, what they've had available to them. And we haven't, you know, you touching on it right there. I mean, the cap room available, but those draft picks and where they were and how many of them there were in those first rounds. And I mean, that's very startling. And it's a little bit frightening right now because it's definitely starting to present itself that now is the time that these guys that you would have picked in those first rounds or second rounds or third rounds and where you were in those rounds should be on the field and become difference makers. And there aren't many of them, you know, in the wide number of them that I could point to that I could say that they are really helping the team game in and game out. You know, I really don't. I mean, there are guys that are in there playing and doing a job, but there just aren't enough difference makers, and there should be for where they were picked.
Do you think that the next seven games are going to determine fates around Bria?
Yes, I definitely do. I really do. And I think that I think going back to last year, the way that year finished too. I mean, I think that, you know, the five games at the end of the year last year and going from where they were right in the hunt last year and then kind of falling out and losing and going 7-9. And with the directive being, you know, we're going to fix this and we're going to find our quarterback and we're going to begin right away, which they said they were doing right after that Baltimore game that ended the regular season last year. I definitely do. I think it's a result-based business, and the result is you got to win. And so I definitely do. I think that a lot of people's fates are going to be decided over these next seven games.
Jim, thank you so much for the time. As always, appreciate it, and we'll talk with you soon.
Okay, guys.
Enjoy the free weekend.
Thanks, Jim.
Enjoy
your
Sunday.
Absolutely. Take care.
All right, you got it. When we come back, more of your phone calls, 216-578-0850 still to come. We'll pick the games around the National Football League this weekend, and we will hear from the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine, who addressed the media today. Cleveland Browns Daily, Zagura Wilhelm on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Replay and react to the day's sports news. ESPN Cleveland Tonight with Mark Munch Bishop, weeknights at 7 on ESPN 850 WKNR.